had a really nice interview today, and this was about a little boutique shop that's down in Main Street in Pittston. They are doing dog grooming, and I say little boutique shop, but it's actually a really nice size place, and they are growing. And I just really enjoyed the storyline about how they got to where they are. The owner, Carly, who we spent some time together in an interview, is just an awesome person and inspiring, and I really like the way that she is growing her business. I think you guys are going to enjoy this. Let's go ahead and get it started. Let me know what you think in the comments. Thanks.
Welcome to Getting to Know the 570,
brought to you by Conversion Works Media,
a show that hosts special guests from in and around Northeast PA, sharing their stories, knowledge, and experiences in their work and personal lives.
Because let's face it,
doing business with locals feels good, but giving business to someone you know feels even better.
And now here's your host, Frank Sefko.
All right, we're back for another episode, and I genuinely appreciate it. Thanks for tuning in. We are here today with Carly Egerter, who is the owner of Carly's Fairy Tale Dog Grooming. They're located on Main Street in Pittston. And who doesn't love a dog groomer? If you're a pet owner, I'm just really excited to learn more about this. You know, for those of you who know, Bugsy's running around here. He's like our shop dog, if you will, and my best buddy. And we always love a good grooming. Comes home smelling good, looking good. And apparently, Carly is a little bit bougie of a groomer. So we're going to learn a little bit more about what makes her so special. And let's learn a little bit about Carly and her journey to getting where she is. Thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, okay, right before we started recording, you said, you know, listen, I'm a little bit up there. I have my services are a little bit higher than maybe what people would expect in regards to the level of service that you're offering. So first, you know, let's not dive into the history, but let's literally talk about your business. Tell us all about what you're doing and Why are you, like, how do you explain that you are a little bit better, or a little bit more bougie, if you will?
So basically, we offer one-on-one grooming. We don't use crates, which a lot of groomers do just to store the dogs and whatnot. We use playpens to make it more just like home feeling for the dogs. But our biggest thing, like you said, we're a little bit more bougie. I like to do like boutique style haircuts. So like those fluffy teddy bear cuts that everyone sees. Okay. That's kind of what we go for. But going into that requires a lot of maintenance and stuff like that between the groomers and the owners. So like brushing your dog at home and stuff like that. But that's kind of like what we are known for, are those style cuts, because of the fact that we do the scheduling and whatnot. If you don't brush your dog at home and stuff like that, they typically can't get those cuts. And that's what a lot of the groomers do, because they don't educate clients on how to properly maintain their dogs.
Okay.
So it's like, that's one big thing that we do, is like we educate everyone. So like everyone loves these doodles, and everyone wants their doodle to have this long hair and this and that. And one of the big doodles on TikTok, his name is Brody. And he's like super well known. He has probably about 6 or 7 inches of hair. I don't even know if he's ever gotten a haircut in his life. And doodles, they can grow hair basically all the way down to the ground if they wanted to. And everyone wants their dogs like that, but they don't realize the maintenance and stuff.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Coming into our shop, we can absolutely give you that experience, because that's what we go for. We want to give people what you can't get kind of anywhere else. But at the same time, they kind of have to work with us, because there's like strict guidelines and stuff that we need to do with those dogs to kind of get them to be at that point.
Sure.
Yeah.
So are you working with, you're obviously, we're not trying to scare people away, right?
Oh, no, absolutely not. So we do basically every dogs. I personally own a boxer. They're like my favorite breed. So we do a lot of just normal bath dogs. I do Shih Tzus, Malteses, any size dog. We do dogs that come in and they like a summer cut, basically, where it's just short all over, easy maintenance. We're basically, we just like to keep the dogs well maintenance, so that there's not any issues and stuff, because grooming goes into health and stuff like that. So we're really big about just like maintaining your dog properly.
Seems like it's what you really love doing.
I do. I love it. And I fell into it. I went to cosmetology school. My mom's a hairdresser. I got out on the floor to work with live clients and I realized it wasn't for me. And then I kind of fell into the dog grooming and I just knew I wanted to make the best experience for these dogs and that I go to work every day loving what I do and I do.
That's
kind of where the shop is now. Like all of my clients and all of our clients know that when they come into the shop, there's four of us that they know that we all enjoy physically going to work every day.
So do you work with being, we'll touch on the bougie side of things first, maybe work our way into it here. Do you work with actual folks who have show dogs?
Unfortunately, no. It's very hard to find people that actually have show dogs. But our biggest clientele are doodles. So that right now that's kind of the closest we're getting to show dogs.
And what would you say is, I always kind of have to ask the cliche questions here. Like, so what would be the craziest do that you've ever done for a dog?
I have a standard poodle who in the summer gets it's called a Miami cut, where she gets the big pom poms on her feet.
Oh yeah.
And then a top knot on her head.
So it kind of looks like a walking bush, like one of them really well trimmed,
yes.
Like bushes outside of a house.
Yes. Yep. You could see her. She's all over Facebook and Instagram. So
white.
She is. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So she's a cool one that I get to do a cut on. I have a Kerry Blue Terrier, where he has about 3 inches of hair on his legs. So he's kind of like a cool, distinct cut. You don't get to see that much. I have a Maltese that has never gotten a haircut. He has hair. If he stands on my table, the hair goes all the way to the
straight
table.
Straight down.
Yep.
And then is that where it's like kind of like trimmed like a perfect skirt?
Yep. So like the dogs that you see like online and stuff where they're just all like they have so much hair and it's super long. That we have one that's like that. He comes every 2 weeks to get groomed.
Wow.
And his mom brushes him and bathes him at home as well. So that's a lot of maintenance, but that's what she wants. So that's what we do.
Well, and that's the thing, like, you know, I think that there's a certain kind of person who wants to do that.
Absolutely. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. There's the other, you know, like I love when Bugsy, when he gets groomed, you know, he gets his regular bath time at home.
Yep.
But I love when he gets groomed and he comes home and it's that extra clean. It's that, you know, it's temporary because
yes.
We're talking about a dog who's going to go run outside and dive his, you know, fat face right into the ground.
Yes.
But it's the idea that there's this sort of special time frame when he gets back from the groomer. It's really nice. But we do it because it's more like for health purposes, we want to make sure mm-hmm. that the things we're not going to do maybe 100% accurate, right? They have all those little wrinkles in their face. You want to make sure all that stuff is being cleaned right.
Yes.
Is that what you were talking about when you said, you know, for health purposes, it's really important?
Yes, especially like cleaning ears. A lot of dogs have yeast infections and ear infections constantly. A lot of smaller dogs have issues with their rear ends. Nails, if you don't trim your dog's nails a lot, if they get too long, it can cause arthritis in their paws and stuff. So keeping up with dogs' nails is super important. And then one thing too, I feel like a big misconception with dogs is you shouldn't be bathing them all the time, which I personally don't believe in. I have two dogs. They're 9 and 10, and I've bathed them every once or 2 weeks their entire life. And I will say none of my dogs have ever had any skin irritations, ear infections, nothing.
Now that comes down to knowing what to bathe them with. Though.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Where we use like all natural products. I don't use chemicals and stuff like that just because that definitely takes into consideration of like what's going on with the dog.
Yeah, so you said you have a boxer now?
I do, yes.
What's him, her?
It's a girl. Her name's Jaya. She's going to be 10 next month.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
She's getting a little old.
She is.
Yeah, I had a boxer.
Yeah, they're fun.
Oh, my God, they're a ball of fun.
She still acts like she's 6 months old.
that's fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah. We had a boxer, and then after he left us in this world, we were vacant for 4 years, and we were like, oh, there's definitely a void in this house.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when we got Bugsy coming up on 3 years ago. And, man, pets are just such, and particularly for us, it's dogs. We just love them. They're so fulfilling. They're so lovable. I know that cats can be too. My mother-in-law, she's been in and around pets in the business for some time. And she has a pet supply company. And so, you know, it's I'm coming around to the cats part of it, but I'm definitively a dog person.
They're definitely different, but everyone has love for them differently too.
Yeah. Now, are you strictly dogs?
We are strictly dogs. Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And let me ask you, is there a reason for that?
A reason is because I'm allergic.
Oh, well, that's
so
good.
So super simple.
Yeah, me too. Now, are you allergic to dogs at all?
No.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Yeah, that's interesting because if I pick up on some dogs like dander, I do get a response to some.
Yeah, I will say sometimes depending on the dog, I might get a little bit ishy, but like it's everyone in general. Like people have allergens to just like the simplest thing. But more specifically cats, like my eyes get itchy my throat gets itchy. If my boxer lays on me and if like say she was dirty or something, like I might get a little itchy on my arm. But other than that, I don't have any issues with them, which is very interesting. But at the same time, like they're dander, like they're different animals.
Yeah. Now, here's a question for you. Thinking about the types of dogs that you'll take in. It sounds like you work with a whole bunch of different ones. It sounds like, you know, when I mentioned Bugsy as an English bulldog,
mm-hmm.
you had said, oh, they're great. You know, they're always typically really friendly. Do you have is there a process? Because I can't imagine you're taking every dog, right? Because there's got to be some level of like safety behavior issues.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yep. So basically we will take dogs in and whatnot. When we schedule a dog, we do ask the owners if there's any like known prior grooming issues, just so that we know like what we're working with when they come in. And as being a trained groomer, and I've been doing this for 9 years, I kind of know how to handle certain situations. And also you have to know when to call it quits for the dog, because some things you can work them through and like they might have a little bit issue, but the more you like get them used to it, like they can grow out of those anxieties and stuff. And sometimes there's just something with the dog and they don't like it and you have to call it quits for safety reasons. And we have had to do that before.
Now, are the dogs typically muzzled during this process or?
To be honest with you, the dogs that we work with, we typically don't, because of the schedule that we have everyone come on. We get to build a relationship with these dogs and it's one-on-one. So your dog is coming in and spending like 1 to 2 hours with one or two people. So they're getting like loved on and whatnot. So a lot of the clients that come in, these dogs are literally running through the front door. But then they're ready to leave, obviously, when mom and dad come back. But they come in. I have dogs that we have to hold them on the leashes because they're trying to jump in the tub and on the table when we're not even ready for them to do that.
Oh, that's funny.
I will say the more consistent you are with the grooming, you can build a relationship and work issues out with any dog. I believe any dog can kind of get worked out of something. Some you can't. Some are just they're set in their ways, unfortunately. But we give kind of every dog a chance.
So talk to me a little bit about, let's dive in a little bit more in regards to some of the things that people should be thinking about at home. You know, there's the obvious, right? I'm going to get my dog groomed, which is, I think in most people's eyes, hair trimmed, cleaned between the crevices, cleaned properly. But what are some things that you wish people at home knew more about and really like why they should be bringing in their pets for grooming?
Well, the biggest thing, like I said, is just getting them used to it. Like acclimation is the biggest thing. So we always recommend when you get a puppy, the dog should be coming into a grooming salon as soon as they're updated on their vaccines, which is typically 14 to 16 weeks old, depending on your vet. And this is because they're still in that happy puppy stage. And typically once dogs reach about 6 months, they have like that fear stage where if anyone that has a puppy, they see they go through different stages like kids, like they'll be fine with everything. And then the next time they could be petrified of the same experience they had. So starting younger, you get to work with them as a puppy and let them understand that like everything's okay. Rather than when if you were to come in at a year old and this dog's never been groomed before and they already have fears and emotions and whatnot, it's harder to work with them because they already have stuff like kind of set with them. So one big thing is I wish people understood why we like puppies to come in so early. It's not like a money thing or whatnot. In reality, it's for the dogs because there a lot of dogs, especially doodles and shih tzus and stuff, they have to get groomed their entire life. So why wouldn't you want to set them up for like a good experience their entire life? That's kind of like what we do there. And then I guess like just at home maintenance too, like brushing and whatnot. it could make everyone's life a lot easier, and clients wouldn't be as upset with us if we couldn't do a certain style on a dog because of matting and stuff. Like me personally as a groomer, I won't demat a dog, which means basically you brush out all the tangles because it's irritating. And I have curly hair. I know what it's like to have tangles brushed out of your hair. So we're kind of more like vanity over like looking at everything. Like we're going to make the dog comfortable before your dog looks pretty going out of the shop. Like if there's tangles and whatnot, we're going to make the dog comfortable. Its hair, it kind of grows back, and then we'll work on what we need to teach them at home, like what proper combs and brushes and whatnot to use to like get the dog used to everything, and just so that they can kind of maintain the dog at home too. So that's like the biggest thing is like acclimation to everything, and that also goes at home too. So like if the dog has issues with brushing at the grooming shop, we typically tell the owners like, you need to start doing it at home, whether you're sitting on the couch with your puppy, just take a brush and brush one leg at a time. You don't have to do the entire dog, but they're going to get used to it, and it's going to desensitize them to, like, everything, basically.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sort of like the as they're growing up and you run the vacuum, right? If you don't subject them to that at the wrong time, that vacuum is going to become the enemy.
Yes. Yep, basically. And especially, I feel like one of the biggest things that people do is the blow dryer. So it's like, oh, Bella doesn't like the blow dryer. And I'm like, well, no, we know. Like, we do it at the shop. Like, they do get a little nervous and whatnot. And I'm like, do you do it at home? They're like, yeah. And she runs away from me. And I'm like, well, you're chasing the dog around with a blow dryer. So I'm like, what do you like, you have to set them up for like a good experience. Yeah. Like, I tell people, if you're going to do that, put the dog on your lap. Buy a cheap grooming table. Everyone can easily go on Amazon and get cheap tools at home to do stuff like this. And it just makes the experience for everyone like so much easier. And the dogs, they love it. Like once you do things properly, it's kind of mind blowing.
Well, I mean, that's a good point. I think, you know, the conditioning, like you said, the acclimation, the conditioning.
Yep.
I think that's really important. One of the things that you know, I found valuable in regards to taking our dog, more so it was when we had Knuckles, who was our boxer, you know, because he would dart into the woods. He loved his sprinting, you know. And so, you know, when you have a dog like that and he's so active, he would lay there and he would allow us to, you know, essentially inspect him after he's been out. But it's a really good part about a groomer too, is that unless you're taking that dedicated time at home to really thoroughly take a look at your dog, especially if they're typically out in wilderness or out and about, is that you're likely to find something like a tick or any other sort of debris or you know, fleas or something like that, that maybe the person at home didn't have any idea. And they're wondering why their dog's gnawing at their leg or doing something, you know, and it's, there it is. You end up finding that they have a tick between their toes and the webbing or somewhere deep embedded on their back. And you're going to find that because you're doing such a very particular job versus the half-assed bath that, you know, somebody at home maybe gives.
Yes. Yeah. So basically with the baths, we do that. We get to look at their feet. We clean their ears in the bath, and then we use high velocity dryers, which basically separates all the hair. So we can literally see every inch of skin on the dog. So that's where we find fleas and skin irritations or hot spots or ticks and stuff like that, because we can literally move the hair, and you would have to sit there with a blow dryer at home or a fine tooth comb and kind of move around and whatnot. And unfortunately, fleas are super fast too. So if you don't have like a big dryer to do it, you're never going to see them, especially on a dog that has one dark hair or super thick hair. So yeah, there's a lot of things that we get to see that like the owners don't at home.
Now, I think this is interesting because I think you were being kind when you said some dogs have a problem with their hind end, right?
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about this, because this is something that people at home are probably most of the time not willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's quite literally, it's a part of the process of when you take a dog to grooming, they get their anal glands cleaned.
Correct.
Right? And that's something that at home people are like, that's gross. I'm not, you know, and so they skip over that part.
Mm-hmm.
But what, like, I think it's important to talk a little bit about that, because if you hear it, you go, ugh, right? But literally, what is that and why is that important?
So basically, dogs have these glands near their rear end that they should naturally release when they go to the restroom. And some dogs, unfortunately, have issues releasing them. So they have to get released either by a groomer or a vet. Vets do them internally where we do it externally. There are some times where they're too impacted where we physically can't release them, where we will tell our clients that they need to go to the vet to do that. But from experience, too, some groomers do every dog's, and I personally don't do that. I feel like once you start doing it physically, you're going to have to for the rest of their life. So I also have a toy poodle where I've had to do his whole life, where my boxer, I've never touched hers because she's never had issues with them. So I'm not going to take a four-month-old puppy and start instantly doing their anal glands because, one, it can cause issues because you're forcing it out when it should come out naturally. But if the dog, the owner comes in, you could typically tell when they have issues with them. So we check every dog. If they need it done, we do it. If not, we let it be, just for safety reasons. And like I said, some of them, they just do it by themselves. But a lot of the times, like, it's more mainly small dogs that need them done by like a groomer or a vet.
So is that something that you have to feel, or is it a visual?
It depends on every dog. Some dogs, like, you could visually see that their rear end is like very swollen, where some dogs you have to kind of feel it and you'll feel them. But like I said, every dog's different.
And I mean, you know, to be specific, if somebody's at home and sort of they see their dog like dragging
scooting their ass across the ground.
Scooting
is typically the anal glands. A very fishy smell is typically anal glands. If they're licking a lot back there, that's typically anal glands. Sometimes, unfortunately, they do, they'll release them by themselves too if they're too full. Like if a dog sneezes or something like that, like,
yeah, you could, the pressure.
There's the pressure, yeah.
Well, so, sort of like us, right?
Yeah.
You have a snort, is that right?
Basically.
force one out accidentally. Well,
I'll have clients text me, they're like, this, I'm like, all right, bring them in. I was like, when they come in for their groom, like, we'll take care of it for you, because some people have no idea. And honestly, until I started grooming, I had no idea, because I had boxers my whole life.
Yeah.
So like, we never did anything with them. But also, when I was younger, I think I took my boxer to the groomer once, my parents did, because we would give her baths in my bathtub, me and my sister. Like, groomers weren't a thing, I feel, back when I was younger. And that was even 20 years ago. They were a thing, but
not as predominant.
Yes.
Yeah,
grooming
is a huge thing right now. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
People care a lot about their dogs.
Well, of course. And I think we're also there's a lot less single working families,
yes,
right? Meaning like there's a lot less of either dad or mom, whomever, is just going to work and the other person's to stay at home.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot more dual working families.
Yes.
So schedules are tight. Right. You want to enjoy your weekends.
Yep.
You still want the pet, but you know, I think that's an obligation, yep, at this point. So, yeah, it makes sense on why there'd be so many more groomers. But, I mean, listen, I asked that question not to be gross, right? But it's quite literally important for people to know. I think that especially if you're at home and you don't know what the hell you're looking for,
mm-hmm,
you don't know what's going on with your dog. I mean, it is, in fact, you know, we're not just taking our dog to go get a fancy haircut or just to get a fancy bath per se.
Mm-hmm.
There's the inherent things like that that, you know, a groomer is likely to identify, where we may have overlooked that. We may not know at home that our dog is going through something like that, and you know that actually makes a big difference. I mean, I remember our boxer, every once in a while, he would need to get that situated.
Mm-hmm.
And every time that would get situated, he would run around the yard like he just...
Oh, like, yeah, they act like new dogs.
Whew.
They're like, thank goodness.
Yeah. I think only one time did I end up having to go digging back there. And it was because he went, when he was a very young pup, he ended up getting into a garbage bag that was going out, and we had wings.
Mm.
He decided to swallow a whole bone by himself. And I, for the life of me, felt so terrible, because for like 3 days he was yelping every time he would move.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what is going on with this dog? And then he started to do the scoot across the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked at my wife and I was like, I got to go get some rubber gloves. I think he's got a problem. And I dove in there and I remember, I'll never forget his face. He trusted me immensely, but he looked back at me like, I don't know what you're doing, but this, you better be doing something good because this doesn't seem right. And I literally pinched and I felt the end of a bone and I pinched and pulled out an entire chicken bone.
Oh my goodness.
And it came right out. And the funniest thing was as soon as that happened, he like ripped around and started licking me like crazy as if he was saying thank you and then darted across the yard and just started bouncing like off of the fence line. And he was filled with so much energy. And it was like, thank God.
Yeah, it was probably uncomfortable. That's what some of them definitely when we're doing that on them, they'll turn around and look at us like, what are you guys doing? And then some of them will try to turn like do a 360 like, no, you are not touching my butt today. And we're like, no, sorry, you have to get it done. So we get it done if it needs to be done.
Have you seen some of the videos like on TikTok and stuff with the pet chiropractors?
Yeah, I've seen some of them.
Some of them are hilarious. Yeah. Where they crack or they'll do something and then the dog is like, huh, and their face is like, what the hell did you just do? It's so funny.
I couldn't imagine doing that. Some dogs just like make weird moves when you like pick up their tail or something.
Yeah. Think about the trust that's, I mean, let alone, you know, going to a groomer. But you literally have a dog that is now like this chiropractor is like manipulating hips and but the faces that those dogs make right after they get that crack, it's like
I will say they probably have to be very well behaved dogs to be able to get that.
I mean,
too.
You would think, right?
Yeah, just
the one
to
was
stand
a,
there.
The one I saw was like a pretty scary looking pit bull and it looked like this thing was loaded with muscles. And when he cracked the neck of the dog whipped and looked. And then it took 2 seconds for him to start licking. And you were like, you didn't know which direction that was going. But you also saw the chiropractor like quickly put like his arms away.
Hesitate a little bit.
Yeah, there was a little bit of that. Oh, no, I don't know what I just did. So, but yeah. Speaking of that, are you, I hate the stigma that's over certain dogs. Like pit bulls. Mm-hmm. That's not fair.
No.
Right? I mean, everybody's like, oh, you got pit bull. I think it's in the owners. I think if you have the right owners training the dog the right way, I think that dog is headed for, you know, like they're not, I understand that there's they're naturally inbred.
Yeah.
I get that. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't make them naturally have behavioral health issues, like essentially.
No, I don't think so. I think a lot of the times too, it's like situations that happened in their lives. Like if dogs had
trauma
like a bad, I feel like that's mainly what it is. Unfortunately, sometimes bad breeding can cause issues too. But yeah, no, that stigma around pit bulls, I don't believe it. I had a pit bull and she was like the biggest baby ever.
Yeah.
I had my toy poodle, actually, we had her when he was a puppy and she used to physically carry him around like a baby puppy. And I'm just like, okay. So yeah, the bigger dogs, to be honest with you, I feel like groomers, if you ask any groomer, they have more issues with small dogs than big dogs. The little ones can be feisty.
There's no joke about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And surprisingly, too, they look so adorable. Mm-hmm. Then you go to like pet and then the snap at your finger, you're like, oh, you little monster.
Yeah, it's usually the little ones. They all have like Napoleon syndrome. They all think they're like super big and they're like 3 pounds. That's what we always say about my toy poodle. He's only 8 pounds, but he thinks he's huge.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
that's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Little 8 pounder.
Yep.
Oh man.
And he was raised with all big dogs. I had 2 cane corsos and then my box.
Cane corsos. Mm-hmm. Oh wow.
Yeah, so he was raised with all big dogs, so he thinks he's a big dog. But I'm happy about that cuz he doesn't have that like little dog mentality. He just sits there and hangs out.
Cane corsos are amazing dogs.
They are.
Aren't they getting like unfortunately like getting banned in a lot of places?
Not that I know of. I know over in the UK and stuff they were like banning a lot of like bully breeds and whatnot, but around here, not that I know of.
Okay. I think if I remember correctly, I think King Corsos in particularly were being banned in and around London. If I remember correctly, there was like a big movement there. There was all kinds of people like picketing because of it.
Yeah. Well, they do have different laws over there with their dogs and stuff like that. Like even breeding, like how they crop and dock dogs' tails and stuff like that. Like their guidelines are completely different than the United States.
Yeah.
So even like their AKC and the UKC and all that stuff, like they are on completely different like maps basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How big did your, how many King Corsos did you have?
Oh, we had two. Unfortunately we lost both of them to cancer last year actually. Bummer.
Both at the same year?
Yeah, within 3 months of each other.
That's rough.
Our oldest, he would have been 7. He was about 120, 130 pounds.
Wow, that's
biggest,
a big dog.
Biggest baby ever. You could literally walk him, or not even walk him on a leash. My boyfriend did a great job with him. He's had him like probably all through his 20s, and that was like his little buddy.
Yeah.
But yeah, he got to be about 130, and I feel like he was kind of on the smaller side because I have seen bigger ones. And then,
I've seen one at 150 pounds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like, that's a big, massive, muscular looking dog.
Yeah. And then our female was about like 110, 115, if that. Yeah. She was a little bit smaller, but she also unfortunately was younger too when she passed away. So she didn't even get to like full size.
Were they all black?
The female was brindle with an all black face. And then blue was a blue one. So he was like that gray color. Yeah.
Like that, like almost silver. Like the Weimaraner blue.
Yeah. Yep.
That's such a pretty color on a dog.
Mm-hmm. It is. And he was like, I don't know, he was just a handsome dog. He had gold eyes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that was my boyfriend's buddy. They're great dogs. That's like the other thing, the stigma on these breeds. Like the big breeds, like they're such love bugs.
Yeah, and again, I think it's all about how you raise them, mm-hmm. right? What is it called? A Dogo? Are you familiar with that brand? Dogo?
I think it's familiar.
It's like D-O-G-O. Like it's apparently the strongest dog breed ever.
Hmm.
I think that's what it's called. Brian, if you get a chance, look that up. I'm curious. I think it's called a Dogo, D-O-G-O, I think.
Like what people jokingly call dogs? Like Dogos?
Like well, yeah, look it up, though. Look it up.
It's a Dogo?
I think it's Dogo. I'm pretty sure. But it's these dogs are typically all white, and they just look like they're on steroids.
Dogo Argentino?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like a pit bull.
Yeah, they look like pit bulls on
they're
steroids.
Huge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huge. Yeah, and I met somebody, I saw that dog in person, and the thing was is they had that dog trained as a very particular protector.
Mm-hmm.
So unless that dog was told to calm down, it was always on lookout, and it mm-hmm. was mostly because the dog was responsibility in the house was to protect the young children.
Yep.
And so when I was there at one point, they had forgot to say something to the dog,
mm-hmm.
and I had just come in, and then the person I was there like stepped into the bathroom for a minute, and then this dog comes walking through the kitchen, and I'm standing there in the foyer waiting for him to come out of the bathroom. I honestly thought there was a joke being pulled on me because this dog, I've been pretty good with not being afraid of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
This dog had me, my soul felt like it was shaking because I was looking at this dog and this dog had that particular stance, like it was about to leap at me. And I was like, oh, and I just heard this subtle undertone growl. And I'm like, this is not the dog I want to get into it with. Like this dog is, and then sure enough, he came out of the bathroom He's like, oh shit, sorry. And then he told his dog to back down. And then suddenly the tail started wagging. Mm-hmm. And he came over to me and he's like licking me. And I was like, dude, your dog, man. Like, but he was so well trained.
Yeah, I feel like with those bigger breeds, you have to do that with because if not, like, you're dealing with 130, 150 pound dog. Like no
yeah.
human can actually like handle that dog. Even like a 20 pound dog is so strong. I see people walking little Shih Tzus down the road and they're getting drugged down the road by the dog on a leash.
Yeah.
Like they just have a different, dogs have a different strength. And once you get into those big ones, they have to be like well-trained.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's, you know, it's trained in socialized.
Yes. Yep.
You know, I think that those are two very different things but both need to happen.
Yes. Yep.
You know, cause that whole stranger complex is a terrible thing. And then also people forget too, that if you have a dog and he's within his boundaries within the backyard, there's the whole idea that there's the other side of the fence thing that goes on,
mm-hmm.
right? It's their territory. So like it's, they don't know what else to do other than protect their area. So somebody comes up to the fence line and wants to reach over and pet the dog. It's like, probably shouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But they people don't know, right?
Yep.
We're looking at a friendly dog.
Yeah. Well, that's why.
There goes your hand.
My boxer does that. We have a chain link fence in our backyard, and she is one. You go outside and go walk around my backyard, she's going to look like a crazy dog. But she is the biggest baby, and if you did come in my yard, she'd probably run the other way. But just like the territorial thing, she will run circles around the fence just to see like what's going on and whatnot. Even though she's a friendly dog, it is like her territory.
Does she chase bunnies and squirrels?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, man. That's
and for almost 10 years old, she's pretty quick. She hasn't never gotten one, knock on wood, because I don't know what I would do with myself. I probably would cry. She almost got a bird 2 years ago. She pinned it up against my greenhouse, but she didn't get it. She's not quick enough. Boxers are super goofy, so I think that's why she's not quick enough to get it, because it's like her mind isn't going as quick as she actually needs it to actually open her mouth and grab the animal.
Knuckles got a bunny once. And to your point, they're super goofy.
Mm-hmm.
So he chased it, and he got it right at the back corner of the yard before the bunny can get underneath the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And he caught it, and he had it in his mouth. But he wasn't he didn't do, like, the kill shake.
Yeah.
Right? He literally caught it and had it in its mouth, and its legs were like, trying to keep jumping and scooting.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched the whole thing happen. And to your point about how goofy they are, he started, you know, that silly prance that they do?
Yes.
Like they bounce up and down.
Uh-huh.
So he catches the rabbit and then he starts bouncing like one. And I laugh with my wife, and I was like, I think he just became a bunny.
Mm-hmm.
He caught one and became one. and then he didn't know what to do because uh-huh. this thing. So then he like, let it go, and it took off, and he went running after it again. But he was like, he was too nice to like do something harmful to it.
Yeah.
But he didn't know what the hell to do with this thing in his mouth. He's like, I guess I caught one for the first time, and now I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. That's what I feel like. What would happen with Jaya? She would probably catch it and like then not know what to do.
That's funny. So do you have any interesting stories to share? Like anything? First off, how long have you been in business?
So I've had Carly's for about 3 years. It was 3 years in September.
Oh, right around the pandemic, huh?
Yep. I actually I found this location. It was June 2020, and I was actually shut down for 12 weeks, like the last shop I was at. I kind of did my own thing in there, but I was at another salon. But we were closed for 12 weeks because of the pandemic. They said that groomers were not essential and we could not open, so we didn't. And the shop kind of just fell right in front of me, and I was getting so busy with, like, my personal clients and whatnot, and I'm just like, I have to take this leap and do it. And I'm like, something like this doesn't just fall right in front of you. I walked in the place, and I instantly visioned my entire shop.
Wow.
And it's a big shop. It's 1,200 square feet. So it's not like a tiny little shop where some grooming shops, it's just everyone's kind of crammed in a little area. Like there's space in here, which is nice. So, yeah, we opened that September, and it's kind of just gone from there.
So you were in a different shop before you were at where you're at now?
Yes, yeah.
And so 3 years where you're at now?
Yes.
And then how long were you at it before that?
So I've been technically grooming for about 9 years. I moved out of the area in 2017. I lived in Oregon for about, I'd say, almost a year. So between 2017 and 2018, I lived in the state of Oregon. And I groomed under a nationally certified groomer out there. And she actually breeds and shows standard poodles. So she kind of like, I kind of say she made me who I am today. Like she critiqued everything that I didn't like about my grooming and showed me how to do it and gave me my confidence because I was very like nervous with it because I was never properly shown how to groom. You don't need any certifications. You don't have to go to school for it. I'm basically kind of self-taught. I've just had jobs and worked under people to basically figure it out. So when I came home, it was, I think 2019, I started working at this other shop. And it kind of went from there. So I've been back in the area since 2019.
So you're a relatively young woman. So 9 years you're grooming.
Yes.
You go to Oregon to really get your start in this?
No, I actually just personally moved out there.
Oh.
Yeah, it was just like a personal choice. Me and my partner at the time decided we wanted to change and whatnot. And I was kind of, I was grooming and stuff, but I wasn't happy with it. So leaving wasn't that big of a deal. Like I could have, I mean, I did. I found a grooming job out there, so it worked out. But we went our separate ways. I moved back home because I'm originally from here and just decided from working in that shop out there, how she did it. And I saw how successful her business was. And I loved the energy in that shop. I'm like, I need to bring that back here. So that's kind of what I did or what I'm going for.
Did you, like, so Oregon, were you just pointing at spots or like what was the sort of value to Oregon?
Just the West Coast. We kind of did just kind of pick a spot, but Oregon kind of like caught our eye.
Yeah.
So that's where we went.
Did you like it there?
Oh, I loved it. Insanely expensive though.
Where what part?
Bend, so it's like Central Oregon.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is that a touristy area?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Especially now because there's a Mount Bachelor. It's a huge like ski area that's only like an hour from Bend. Bend is technically like the most up and okay. Maybe like 5 years ago, the statistics were like this. It was like the most up and coming city in the United States. So it was like getting very big.
You said it's really expensive.
Yes. Yeah. Really? Like at least four times as expensive here. And that was like when I lived there. So I can only imagine what it's like now.
Big population?
Now, yes, because a lot of like people from California are moving up there, I heard. But back then it was kind of slower. Like it was still like a small town. But from what I've heard, the people I still talk to, it's super crowded now.
Is it what's the sort of vibe there?
Very laid back. Like I said, I lived there like, what, 5-6 years ago. So it was very laid back then. I hiked a lot.
Is that who goes there? Like a people who just really genuinely love the mountains,
yeah, just,
outdoors?
Yeah, super outdoorsy. It was the high desert. So we had winters and summers. There was no falls or spring. So like the summer, it would be 100 degrees outside, but no humidity. So you could be outside and it would be hot, but you wouldn't be like dying like you are here when the humidity is.
Yeah.
But then in the winter, you're going to get like 4 or 5 feet of snow in certain areas.
Wow.
So, and the winters out there are totally different. But yeah, no, the vibe, it was super laid back, just like calm. Everyone got along. One of the biggest things, and I laugh about, is I went to a grocery store and I had some random lady walk up to me and just start a conversation. And I'm just like, what are you doing? I'm like, because people here, I feel like random people don't just come up to you and start a conversation.
Right, right.
And I was like, I felt so rude because I kind of like was like brushed her off like and like scoffed. Walked away.
Yeah.
But everyone there, everyone talks to everyone, like everyone's super friendly and they just, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's just a little laid back. But I've heard it's changed since everyone kind of wanted to live there from like that's how it was.
Sure.
And they heard about it. And it's just a beautiful place. It's like living in like a National Geographic book.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the views are really nice everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? So it sounds like it's like a hodgepodge,
yeah,
of people from all over that are moving there.
Yeah.
Is there a sense of like where you were? Is there a sense of like local?
There definitely was, but just a lot of things changed. So a lot of the locals, unfortunately, when it started getting like more expensive, a lot of them sold their houses because they were getting five times as much,
yeah,
than they were. And then they're just moving out of town and stuff. So local definitely got like smaller. There's not many locals left there anymore. Or if they do, they kind of live outside of Bend, like on the outskirts.
So you lived there for a full year?
Yeah, kind of somewhere around there.
And then just had enough, decided to come back home?
Yeah.
All right. That works.
Yeah, it does.
Do you ever go back? Like, are you...
I have not been back actually, just because life has been so busy with the shop and then my personal life and whatnot. I just haven't gone back. Because also I always said when I do go back, I want to go back for like 2 to 3 weeks because it's about a 9 to 10 hour flight out there. And then there's a 3 hour time difference. So like your first couple days are all mixed up and whatnot because of the time difference. But it was cool. The lady I worked for out there, she like changed my whole perspective on grooming. And I came home and I'm just like, I have to figure out how to do this here.
What did you learn?
So she bred and showed standard poodles. So she did show grooms. So she basically just critiqued everything.
Oh, it was like working for like the top chef.
Yeah, basically. So it's like that stuff here. Like, I mean, there are great groomers around here and I could probably find someone to do that. But like that experience was also kind of thrown in my hands. So it's like I took it and she just changed everything. She gave me my confidence because sometimes when you're working in certain shops, people don't. they don't help you or show you different techniques and whatnot. And just from working in other shops too, like the different techniques you can kind of bring together, kind of sculpt everything. So, but she kind of sculpted everything together. Everything I learned from the previous years, she's like, here, do this different. And that's how you'll get this look, or you're doing this wrong. Do it this way. And it's just, it's kind of crazy how much it's changed since I like worked in her shop. Like,
was it tough at first?
It was, yeah. It was very nerve-wracking.
Were you like, I don't know if I made the right decision?
Yeah, I actually went on as her apprentice / bather, and then she started letting me groom her standard poodle, and she kind of saw that I had an eye for it. I'm very artsy, so I'm kind of always good with, like, drawing and painting, so I kind of just have, like, an eye for art and whatnot. And she just saw that I could do it, and I had potential, and she started letting me groom dogs. And within like 3 months, it was like a complete difference just because she showed me different ways how to do things.
That's great.
Yeah.
Now, while you were there, did any of those dogs, evidently there were show dogs, right? Some of them. Did you get to work on any of them that were?
So in Bend, she didn't have any show dogs. She also had a shop. She groomed out of a shop in San Francisco. So once a month, she would drive down there and I would run her shop in Bend, and she would do like the show dogs and stuff down there. But I never got to personally do one.
Ah, bummer.
Yeah.
That'd be neat to see your dog on the runway, right?
Yeah. They're a lot of work though. I know all the work that goes behind all that stuff.
Well, and you have to, yeah, you think about how crazy, and I mean that respectfully, some of the owners can be.
Oh yeah.
Right. Cause well, you're talking to those dogs. Some of them are, you know, tens of thousands of dollars.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, not even the show dogs. Like, dogs nowadays are expensive, and people are just very, they want what they want. And, like, the haircuts, too. Some people are like, this is what I want, and you have to do it this way, or I want a round face, or I want fluffy legs and stuff like that. People are very particular.
What do they do, bring in, like, a photo to you?
We have people that will send us pictures and be like, I want this done, or they'll send us a picture after their dog got groomed the previous time by another groomer, and like, this is what I want done, and we're like, all right. Or sometimes my favorite is when they say, do whatever you want, and then I get to do whatever I want. That's the best.
That's cool.
I like to
Bit of a hope, right?
Yeah. I don't do anything too crazy. I just like to make the dogs look cute. And that's one thing, like, my friends have always said. They say that I'm like a pet stylist. Like, I can look at a dog and just kind of envision what I want it to look like, instead of it being like, oh, there's three Shih Tzus in a row and they're all Shih Tzus because they're all cut the same way. Like, I like to say, like, when they come to our shop, like, we kind of work with what the dog looks like and, like, their personality. So those three Shih Tzus, like, at my shop, I would like to be able to be like, oh, that one's Bella, that one's Brody, and then that one's Jax. Like, you guys can tell who's who just because they all have a different little style to them.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like gremlins.
Yep.
We know who Spike is. We know, yeah.
Yep.
No, that's funny. But that's cool, too. I mean, like, so do you get a lot of people who allow you to just do what you want?
We do. And over the years, my clients have kind of just gained, I guess I gained their trust and whatnot. So sometimes they're like, here, have fun with them. I have a doodle who in the winter, we get to color her tail and ears. So she gets a purple tail and purple ears in the winter.
That's funny.
Yeah.
And how long would something like that last?
So I only do the temporary ones, but they still last. I think it's like 10 to 12 washes. So it could take a couple months depending on how often you wash your dog, but sometimes it can come out quick. They have permanent ones that will last a while, and then they have like chalks and stuff that if you wash the dog the next day, that would come out. Yeah, they have a bunch of fun stuff.
Now, do you do a lot of that? Or
no, we do not.
Okay.
No.
Do you not want to do it? Like,
would love to. We don't have a lot of experience in it because it's not high in demand around here. There's still a lot of people that see it and they're like, oh my God, that's so weird. I don't want to do that to my dog.
Yeah.
Where it's like my clients, like my one friend has a doodle. She let me do it to her doodle, her tail. And then the one client, Liberty, gets her ears and her tail done because her mom loves purple. And I did it once. And now it's like in the winter, she gets that done purple. So, yeah.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, the on the other end of it, right, from a salon for people,
mm-hmm.
This colored hair phase is rolled in strong,
mm-hmm.
You know. So, you know, we've and you've got some like really successful people,
uh-huh,
that are running salons. Some of who have been guests on this show here, but. You know, you got these like rainbow dudes.
I'm glad you brought that up because I was like literally going to say, like, you can't walk out of here and not run into somebody with like green hair, but I draw the line at my sticker doodle.
Yeah. But I think that's, I think, you know, what would be interesting is if they took like a real shot at it and kind of like, it's, as long as it's not like going to be harmful to the dog and their you know, quality ingredients, I guess, that go into.
Yeah, it's all pet safe products and stuff like that. So it's not like human hair dye.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, it would be neat if you had one of these long-haired dogs, you know, kind of like even the Malteses that have the hair that hang down low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, imagine like a rainbow color or something like that going from the bottom up.
Yeah.
And being very expensive.
You got to hook up with the salon and do like a mommy and me package.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That'd be hilarious. It'd be really cool, I think.
Actually, now that I just remember, so my groomer, Katie, has two clients, a white husky and an Australian shepherd, and they do get dyed. The white husky, the mom, the last time they were in, his tail got done orange, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, his whole tail. So on a white husky, his tail was done completely orange. And then on the Australian shepherd, she did, the paws were pink, and then the tail, and then the tips of the ears were pink. And that the mom wanted that done, and the dad didn't know. And the dad came to pick up the dogs, and he was just like, oh, my God.
What did we do?
He was fine with it, obviously, because it was just whatever. But, that was one other thing that we did. We did do the husky and the Australian shepherd with color on them.
I mean, have fun, right?
It is. It comes out.
Yeah.
That's what with even haircuts. Like, you don't like it or whatever, shave it off.
It's not like we're giving the dog a tattoo or something, yeah. You know?
It's not permanent.
Yeah. I mean, it's just something fun to have.
Yeah.
You know, get creative. And I mean, but to me, if you look at the trend, like I said, with even, you know, these salons that are being very successful with doing these like exotic colors, I don't know. Who's you know, somebody's got to do it for the dogs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Becomes a specialized place. Suddenly, they're booked,
yep,
just for that. That's crazy. It's gotta come about. I'll bet you it does. A couple years more, somebody's gonna do it.
It might. There's creative grooming is definitely a thing. So like, there's people that will groom doodles and cut them short and make them look like zebras or giraffes and stuff just by like putting patterns on them with the color and whatnot. So it definitely is a thing. Like I said, it's just, one, it's time consuming and money too. I think that obviously has something to do with it,
sure,
too, because it is a dog. So that's one thing I feel that has something to do with it. It's just,
listen, depends on how bougie you are.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, for all intent and purposes, you could put little LVs all over your dog, and
yeah,
now it's going to be a Louis Vuitton dog.
We could do that.
With, like, just the pattern right across the whole body. I mean, I'm just saying, paint the bottom of their feet red.
Paint their toenails.
Red.
Yep.
Now they're red bottoms. Next thing you know, there's a $1 million dog right there.
Yep.
That's funny. But I want to learn a little bit about you now and how you, I mean, I understand you said you went to beauty school and then you decided, nah, I don't want to work with people.
Mm-hmm.
So first, did you grow up in this area?
I did, yeah.
Where'd you grow up?
In Exeter. I went to Wyoming area for school.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So after that, I kind of was one of those kids. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I went to cosmetology school because my mom's been a hairdresser since she's 17, and she actually owns her own salon.
Locally?
Yes.
Whereabouts?
On Luzerne Ave in West Pittston. It's called Bella Madre.
Oh, okay.
Super tiny. It's just her and another gentleman.
Nice.
Like I said, she's been doing it since she's 17, so she kind of has this tiny shop now because she does it more because she loves it at this point.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. But I went to cosmetology school because I was like, she had a bigger salon. I was like, I'll eventually just take over all her clients. She could retire and whatnot. And I loved cosmetology school. Like, I was good at doing hair. I loved the creativity and stuff. It was just physically working with people that I had an issue, like, talking to them and connecting. And my mom always joked around. She's like, I should have went to be a psychiatrist instead of a hairdresser, because you sit there, especially women, they sit there for 3, 4, 5 hours sometimes. So
it's
hear
like
their,
a therapy session.
Yeah, you hear their whole life story. So that was, like, one thing I kind of was, like, a little skeptical about, because I'm kind of shy. So then,
more of an introvert.
Yeah, yeah.
I can pick up on that, but yeah. It's not in a way that's bad. I mean, it's. I think I get it. When people are introverts, they just. Are you the type of person that when you're when you're working with the dogs, you're talking to the dogs?
Oh yeah.
I mean, maybe the dog's getting a therapy. Maybe it's a therapy session for you then.
Yeah, it
is. Unlike the other way, right? Yeah. When somebody comes into a hair salon and they're telling their whole story,
mm-hmm.
you're telling the dog your whole story.
Yeah, basically. Some of them like to talk to us too, though, especially the huskies. They sing. They sing their songs all the time.
That's funny. you had the opportunity. You said you experienced it a little bit while you were in school.
Mm-hmm.
Was that when you decided?
Actually after. And how I got into dog grooming was I actually helped a friend. She had a little shop in her garage, and she basically just did her neighbor's dogs and stuff like that, like super little. And the one day she's like, "Do you want to come help me?" And I'm like, "All right." I mean, I could wash a dog. I know how to use scissors and clippers. Like, it can't be that hard. Well, I will say it's hard. It's totally different than cutting human hair. At this point, I should say it was hard. I obviously kind of know what's going on now. But it's a totally different, like, 360 flip. But from working with that one dog I did that one day, I instantly knew that that's what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And from that day forward, I got a bathing job. And I started out as a bather and basically learned how to handle dogs and what to look for. And then I started to get trained as a groomer, and it just kind of went from there. So I've worked at smaller shops. I've worked at doggy daycares. I've worked at corporation shops. So I've kind of been kind of all over the place.
It was a good mix of experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So out of all of the things and places that you've learned and experienced, what were the things that you said, I'm never going to do this, and here's the things that I'm definitely going to do?
The one-on-one is definitely the best. There's times where appointments overlap because dogs give issues sometimes or people run late. That's one thing. But the one-on-one where you work straight through a dog is absolutely the best. There were times where I would have three dogs come in at 9 o'clock and I'd have to have all three dogs done by 12, 1 o'clock. So it's like I'm working on three separate animals all at once. And dogs don't know what time is. That's why when you go out and take the garbage out and you come back, they act like you were gone for 10 years. So it's like you have to think, you drop them off at a groomer, they could be there 5-6 hours, or you go to a one-on-one shop. And like our dogs typically are there, like, it can range from 1 to 3 hours depending on what your dogs are. So these standard doodles and stuff and standard poodles, they typically take 2 to 3 hours just because there's so much work to them. But the one-on-one is definitely, from experience, like that's my favorite just because it's a lot more calming. The energy is a lot more level because dogs, they kind of react off of energy a lot. So it's like you have one bad dog in the shop or a dog that's having issues, like they all feed off of that stuff. So even if I'm having a bad day, the dogs are all going to know that I'm having a bad day. So it's like kind of a calm environment is definitely like I personally feel it's the way to go because it's just calm all the way around. The daycares, I loved working in the daycare, but it's definitely chaotic because there's dogs barking, there's dogs running around everywhere. And then you're sitting there with a dog trying to give it a haircut and it's hearing all this commotion. And that just kind of makes it a little bit more difficult to work with dogs, especially dogs that have issues or are nervous with certain stuff. So like the calm environment is definitely like, that's my favorite. I feel like that's one thing that I will never change.
Calm, controllable.
Yes.
Gives you the flexibility to work on a schedule that works best for you and for the dog.
Yep.
I mean, this sounds like a hell of a quality of life. Yeah. Honestly, I mean, like a good. It's almost like you don't go home and feel like you had a terrible day.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to bring into my shop too, and that's like one of my favorite things is like the clients even notice that I have a lady. She has a little doodle. I've been grooming him for, I'd say about 5 years. In the past two times she was in the shop, so I've been grooming this lady's dog for 5 years. But recently she has come in and said she loves the energy in the shop. She comes in and she just feels how calm and like it's not always quiet, like dogs bark and whatnot, but it's just she can tell it's very like the energy is very level and like just calm.
That's great.
Yeah.
And you said you have there's four of you all together?
Yes.
So talk to me a little bit about, building this business? Because, you know, this is something that a lot of people struggle with.
Well, it was definitely a struggle. I started out by myself as a one-on-one groomer. And just being in the industry, I've worked with other groomers and other bathers. So I knew when it came time for me to bring someone on, one, I needed to work well with them, because you need to, I feel like, especially in the grooming environment, you need to work well with like your other employees and stuff, because say you have a bad dog and you have to work together, you guys kind of have to literally physically work together and mentally work together to like handle certain situations. But when it came time to do that, I had a hard time hiring someone and finding the right person for that spot and that I can kind of trust, because my name is on this business. So it's like I have to bring in someone that has the same wants and needs out of like what they want for their career. And like, I want someone that's going to come into the shop and like understand what I'm kind of trying to put out there. And that's when my groomer Katie messaged me. She reached out to me. She was working at a different shop, a little bit more fast paced and whatnot. And she's just like, I want to learn how to like basically really groom, and I want to do cute cuts, and I want to be not stressed out at work and this and that. And she came down, and it was just like we clicked right off the bat. So that was like my first step.
And I love when that happens.
Yeah. And we went from there, and we got busier and busier. And then I was like, the next thing I would love to do is, because you don't need to go to school for grooming. PetSmart and Petco, they do have schooling that they will send their groomers to and whatnot. But like I said, I'm kind of self-taught. Like I just went and got jobs and figured it out. But I was like, I would love to start someone as a bather and teach them kind of how I was taught. But like now I kind of know what
but groom them.
Yeah. I know what I need to teach someone. So I hired another girl, Jada. She started out as a bather and she's currently learning how to groom. So she started taking her own clients, like little small dogs and whatnot, so we don't over bombard her and whatnot. And she's doing fantastic. And she was the same way the first time I met her. I'm like, there we go. I'm like, there's our next girl. And she's been with us for a little bit. And then we have another girl. Her name's Haley. She started out as a bather, and she's currently starting to do like golden retrievers and nail trims. And she does bath dogs all the way by herself. So, and she came in with no experience either. So far I've trained two people that had like no experience, and they're both doing fantastic.
That's really cool. Now, 4 people, new location, 1,200 some square feet. Is there, like, are you guys working simultaneously? Is there different bays that you have, or do you have to kind of like rotate dogs?
So our shop is basically, it's skinny and long. So you walk in, it's not very wide, the shop. So you walk in and I have a gated off area. So you walk in, I have a bunch of plants and a fancy vintage couch and a fluffy white carpet and some cool old antique furniture. And then I have a white picket fence basically that separates the pens and the grooming area so that if we let the dogs run around that they can't get to our front door. So it's basically you walk and you see that. And then on the left side, there's 3 4x4 pens that we made for the dogs to just like a holding center if their parents are running late or whatnot. Then we have currently 3 grooming stations set up. They're probably about 5 feet away from each other. So we all groom in the same area. But the cool thing about my shop is that the bathing and drying area are in the back, and they're like, there's a door. So like, that's usually the messiest and loudest part because we use the dryers and the water. So that's all separate from our shop.
Oh,
so
very
like
nice.
When people come in, they see us giving the dogs the haircuts. They don't see like all the wet hair on the floor and like the dirtiness.
Or
yeah.
I'm sorry, can you talk a little louder?
My favorite is like when we're doing huskies, it looks like a cotton candy machine exploded from like all their undercoats. So like we get to keep all that stuff in the back, which it's cool to see. Like I'll post videos and whatnot so people can see like what we're doing in the back room. But it's like the front of the shop, it looks very nice. Like it's clean.
Is your design?
Yes.
Were you inspired? Did somebody help you? Or literally you said, I see it?
I will say Pinterest definitely helped me out a lot. I did a lot of research because I knew I didn't want to use crates. I knew I wanted pens for the dogs because a lot of people also don't crate train their dogs. Mm-hmm. And I've had to fight with dogs in the past to put them in the crates, or you put them in the crates and then unfortunately they have accidents and then you're rewashing dogs and this and that.
Sure.
So I'm like, I just want to eliminate that altogether. So I made these big pens and the dogs react so much better to them because they're not confined. Like, there's 4 walls, but the top is open, and then it's like white picket fence on the front, so they could stick their noses through, and they could see everything that's going on.
Yeah, I feel like they're in a yard.
Yeah, basically.
That's a very good idea.
Yeah. It's worked out fantastic.
That's awesome. Now, do you have the ability to continue to grow at this point?
So that's kind of where we're getting a little tricky. I will probably be putting like one more grooming table out front for Haley when she gets to that state. But there is definitely potential to have to open another location sometime in the future, because I have clients that come from Archibald, Bloomsburg, Mountaintop, I have a lot of Dallas clients. So like people are traveling, like some clients, like at least an hour to get to the salon. So I've thought about opening another location just because we are kind of getting tight in where we are.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Now, what made you choose? I mean, it's relatively close to you, but what made you choose Pittston?
Well, like I grew up there. Main Street it started to kind of be up and coming, but underneath us is Pittston Popcorn. And they are my cousins, and they actually let me know that my shop was available. And I just went there, and the front of my shop has a big window, and it's all pink. The storefront is pink. And I was like, Carly's Fairy Tale Dog Grooming. I'm like, I could see my logo right on the front, and like the whole shop is pink. So I'm like, it just kind of worked out. I feel like it all kind of just fell together. Yeah. I was like, if I don't take this shop, and like it was during COVID, and I was a nervous wreck because I'm like, this could literally be nothing. I could be wasting my time and money. Yeah. But I'm like, I knew I would regret it if I didn't do it. So I took the step and I did it, and it worked out really well.
Well, I mean, I was going to say, it sounds like the risk was worth the reward because, yeah. You know, I think it sounds like you're headed in the right direction. I mean, you're a lot more fortunate than other people who are, you know, or maybe thought that they were going to build a growing business and mm-hmm. then they were stuck working by themselves and just can never get to that second or third person. So sounds like you've put the right, you know, processes in place. You've laid out a store the way that it needs to be laid out so that way you can grow.
Mm-hmm.
Even the thoughtfulness, picket fences, pens, not crates or you know, kind of small confined areas. It's the idea that you're being thoughtful to, you know, who you're serving.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that makes it all the more special. Because I know that's one of the most guilt-filled things as a pet owner is that you're like, I don't want to leave there because I know they're going to shove them in a box.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just like, that feels terrible.
Yeah.
So this sounds like something that it's like almost coming back and maybe the dog doesn't even want to come home because they're having so much fun.
Uh-huh. One of the biggest things too I tell like clients, because obviously the dogs, they never want to leave their owners. And I was like, the biggest thing is like, it's like dropping a kid off at kindergarten. The kids, they throw a tantrum. They don't want you to leave. They kick and they cry and they do this and that. And then it's like 5 minutes later, they're like playing with their friends. It's no big deal. It's the same thing. There's some that are still nervous and that's just like the dog. But typically, as soon as the owner leaves, guess who's giving them attention? Us.
Sure.
So they're fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I can tell you this. I love Bugsy to death. My dog is amazing, but if I were to take him anywhere, I don't think he would have a half a second of worry about me leaving. He would just be gone.
Yep.
He would just be playing and doing his thing, and I get in a car and I think I don't think he loves me. He just goes. He does his thing. So, bulldogs are very unique in that sense.
Oh, yes, they are.
Yeah. Now, you said you do get to groom some, or you just have?
I had one. Yeah, a couple years ago, I had an English bulldog.
You yourself?
Yes.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I've had a bunch of dogs.
Sounds like it.
And I feel like the more you have, you don't even know that they're all there. Like typically, my household would have like four dogs in it.
Yeah.
So, but right now we're kind of taking a break because the two that we have are a little bit older. We got a little one at home, so a puppy right now is definitely not the ideal.
Sure,
thing to
sure.
do. I got offered a standard poodle, and I'm like, my old boss, I was like, Jen, I was like, if I didn't have a kid that just started walking and whatnot, I was like, I would do it. But I'm like, I don't think I can handle a 1.5 year old and then a teething puppy and training that stuff. So
that's a lot. Yeah. So you're a mom, you said, a 1.5 year old?
Yep. He'll be 2 in June.
Wow.
Yep.
That's awesome. What's his first name?
His name is Beck.
Beck.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah, Beck Ryan.
Any significance to that?
I did not know what I wanted to name him. I like the name Beckham and Beckett, and his dad was like, what about Beck? Because we're never going to call him by Beckham or Beckett. Like, it's just too long of a name.
Sure.
We knew he would have a nickname, so we just shortened it to Beck. And we just fell in love with it. As soon as he said that, I'm like, that's it. I can't even picture another name.
Awesome.
The rest is history.
Awesome. Awesome. Does he love playing with the dogs?
Oh, yes. He comes to work with me until on Mondays and Tuesdays until my mom gets there. His favorite thing is he loves to try to pet the dogs. He loves to vacuum up all the dog hair. Sometimes he'll try to brush the dogs with us. He just loves them. Yeah.
A shop kiddo.
Yeah, basically.
That's awesome.
I had to go there this morning, and he got his little stool and pulled it up to, like, my reception desk, and he had a pen, and I took a picture of him because it looked like he was, like, trying to check clients in. So he's our little mascot. Everyone kind of sees him around and whatnot.
That's great.
Yeah.
Now, is it does your partner get involved in the business?
Not really. Yeah, he kind of does his own thing. He does, like, construction and whatnot.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, the dog grooming right now is kind of, like, my thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough when you're running a business. That's why I always ask, because it's interesting to hear the dynamics of how people sort of manage their personal life versus running a business, right?
Yeah.
Because the day-old sort of, oh, when you run your own business, you're in control of your schedule and you have all this money that you don't know what to do with it. That it's quite the opposite, right?
Yeah.
but it's, you know, it's always neat to hear how other people are manage that. And honestly, just listening to you talk about everything, it sounds like you have a really nice grip on your schedules. You get to go home at a normal time.
Yeah.
Sounds like, you know, maybe you work on your business. I'm sure outside of the grooming, there's a lot of
24/7.
Yeah. That's what running a business is all about. But it sounds like it's taken its manageable course for you.
And
that's wonderful because, you know, again, a lot of other people that just, they don't work themselves out to have that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's important here is like, you know, listening to your story, you knew what you were up against, but you also knew what you needed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need a manageable schedule. Other people will just throw themselves into a mix and make themselves overtly busy because they just need to be, because they think that it's the money. And, you know, you kind of went in this with a head that said, look, I'm doing this for a reason. I'm not just doing this for to get paid, but I'm doing this because this is what I love to do. And at the end of the day, I want to feel fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want that stress.
Yeah.
So it's good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's aspiring. I mean, I think other people can really find, you know, like this sort of peace in that, if you will.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. There was definitely in the beginning where I was working 6-7 days a week to get it all started, especially when it was by myself. But once we got to a certain point, especially like when I had my son and I'm like, I don't want to be that mom that's working 7 days a week. Like, I fortunately have somewhat control over the schedule and stuff like that. Like Katie, my other groomer, she's actually a mom of two. She has a 5-year-old and a 9-month-old. So it's like one thing that is a little difficult with our shop is like a business of ours. We don't do evenings. And then we do work Saturdays. So like if you can't come during the day, like our weekdays, like we do have Saturday appointments. But like where a lot of other groomers are, they do evening appointments, but we don't do that because of our kids.
Sure.
So just to
But that's kinda, okay, yeah. Right? Your customers, your clients know that that's how you run your
and
business.
And I will say before I was a mom and stuff, I did do evenings. I would take 5:30 appointments. I wouldn't get home till 8-9 o'clock at night. And those clients, because I've built a relationship with them, they make my schedule work for them. So I have people that honestly, they take off work. They don't go to work the day just to bring their dog in to get groomed because that's they want to come to our shop.
Well, that's the beautiful part about what you do is that the moment that you make a client happy, they're yours.
Yep.
Right. You're in such a loyalty driven business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mostly because like once you prove that you're doing what we need as a customer, right? Mm-hmm. Like for us, like I don't want to risk having a terrible experience somewhere else.
Yep.
It's like I'm absolutely sure that if I take my dog to Carly, like I'm not going to have a problem.
Yep.
So that's really nice and manageable in the growth of your business. And yeah, look, I didn't want to paint the wrong picture that when you're starting a business that there's sort of you're just stepping right in and making your own rules.
Mm-hmm.
There's the build up, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You gotta, as they say, eat crow before you eat filet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, you're taking on a lot more work in the beginning. But even for you in that sense, Yeah, a little bit stressful in regards to the maybe abundance of or the lack thereof, right? You're trying, mm-hmm. you're like, I wish my schedule was filled. And then on other days, you're working until 9 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
These are the ebbs and flows, if you will, of starting a business. But the nice thing is that no matter what, you were enjoying what you were doing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. And all that while you were learning about what do I need to do next so that I don't have to keep doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Where again, some people just kind of get in a groove and then they become their own worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And in business, the business is their vice.
Yep.
They can't go have a personal life. They live and breathe it. And you know, you mentioned the beauty business, right?
Like
that's where I see that happen a lot.
Yep.
Right, because it's their business. They end up building a brand that's around themselves
mm-hmm.
instead of building a brand that is that of a bigger thing
mm-hmm.
and incorporating other people and building it so that people want to go to this place, not just to this one individual.
Yep.
And I think that that's really important. It sounds like that's what you're building.
Yep.
That's great.
Yep.
That's great. And I think it's really, again, inspiring. And congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Was there anything that we didn't cover? I feel like we learned a lot about you and a lot about your business.
I don't really think so.
Throughout the year, is there any sort of events that you do or anything?
Typically, Main Street in Pittston has their crazy parades and stuff that they'll do. If anyone comes to like the St. Patrick's Day parade and whatnot, you'll usually see us sitting out front. We usually do like coffee and cookies just to get people to come over to the shop, but we're right there on Main Street, so you get to see like the entire parade and stuff like that.
Art walks?
Yep.
Do you do that too?
I don't do the art walks, but they do come down onto Main Street, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're there for the big event?
Yeah.
Are you there for Tomato Fest?
Yeah, we're there. We don't have like a booth and stuff like that. It's kind of hard with the grooming business because like we offer services and whatnot.
Sure.
Like I don't really sell anything. But yeah, no, we try to be involved in all like kind of as much as we can.
Great. Well, I mean, I think this was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Talked about a lot. I mean, who doesn't love talking about dogs?
I know. And then I guess one thing right now is like because we are training more people, like we are taking on new clients. So basically any breed, size and whatnot, if people want to come to us, they can always call or text us and give them more information. But we are accepting new clients. I know a lot of the groomers in the area. Grooming is weird. There's like spots where it's like super busy and then it's like dead. And for some reason right now I noticed there's some groomers that aren't accepting new clients just because they're busy. It's that, like that weird time of year.
But is it busy season?
Yeah, but because we are expanding, we have that opportunity to bring in those new clients in our shop.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And for the record, this is February 2024.
Yes.
This is when we're recording this.
Yes.
So as of right now, you're accepting new business.
Yes.
Which is fantastic, and it's a sign of your growth. So that's really I love to hear that. I know a lot of our listeners will love to hear it because a lot of them are other business owners. And
mm-hmm.
so that's great. And the last thing I know that we wanted to do is that we're going to do a little bit of a giveaway,
mm-hmm.
right? So we're going to do a complimentary grooming to help promote the episode.
Yes.
So to let all of our new listeners know how this works, because all of our existing listeners know, you have to make sure that you're on Facebook. You go to the Getting to Know the 570 page. When our post goes out with this episode, you will have to like, share, and then comment a keyword from the episode. What was the name of your boxer?
Jaya, J-A-I.
J-A-I?
J-A-I?
Yes.
We could do that as a fun way to you know, honor the dog.
I'm for
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Jaya?
Yeah, let's do that.
J-A-I?
Yes.
All right, there you go. So the key word from today's episode is Jaya. And if you don't know what that is, shame on you. Go back and listen to the episode. I don't like fast forwarders. You're not allowed here. But we're going to do a complimentary grooming, and you know that could range, obviously, depending on the size of your dog, but Yeah, that's a nice giveaway. That could either have a value of anywhere between like $70 to almost $125. So I appreciate you doing the giveaway and allowing us to promote that.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Absolutely. And for the people who need to know how this works here, not only are you going to comment, like, share, and comment that keyword, Jaya, on our Facebook page, once it sits there for about 2 weeks and it keeps accruing new comments and such, then what we'll do is a drawing. It's an automatic randomized drawing, and whoever the winner is, we will let you know, but we will also inform Carly. You have to go to Carly's shop to claim and or give her a call at least, and you'll be scheduling that as an appointment. It's not just a walk-in, right? You're going to have to call Carly. So Carly will know who you are. You'll have to work that out with Carly. We don't disperse any sort of gift cards, gift certificates, anything like that. That it is between you and Carly. But good luck to everybody. Carly, before we jump out of here, I want to tell everybody where they can find you, everywhere.
We are 8 North Main Street in Pittston, and then it's Carly's Fairy Tale Dog Grooming on Facebook and on Instagram.
Okay, perfect. And is that where they can pretty much learn everything that's going on,
too? Absolutely. I post on both of those pages every single day. So usually stories, all that stuff, all the new updates, if we're closed, if I'm doing any kind of like new packages for dogs and whatnot, availability and stuff, I post all that kind of stuff. Especially all the pictures of the dogs. We do try to take a decent amount of pictures of the dogs after they get groomed and stuff like that. So all that fun stuff is up there.
I didn't ask, but do you have products available in the store?
We do not, no.
No products. Nope. So it's 100% a service.
Yes.
Okay, great. And on social, do you accept messages?
Yes.
You respond?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So there you go, guys. Either give Carly a call. Did you say the phone number?
It's area code 541-410-9582.
Okay, there you go. I'm not going to repeat it because that was too quick for me, but it's there. Rewind it. Listen to it again. We'll put it in the post. So message Carly, call Carly. Is it okay if somebody were to be driving by, stop in, just ask questions?
Yep, absolutely.
Awesome. So there you go. If you're driving by, you happen to be on Main Street in Pittston, you want to stop in, see the place, go ahead, check it out. It sounds really cool. I haven't been, but I love the description that I heard today. Is there anything else you wanted to say before we jump out of here?
I just wanted to thank, I guess, all my support over these years and our great staff for making this all possible, because without everyone, I wouldn't be able to do this today.
Love it. Gratitude is so important.
Yep.
Good. Well, congratulations again, Carly.
Thank you very much.
To all of our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. Like, share, comment, subscribe, do whatever it is you want to do. I don't really care when it comes to that, but most importantly, just keep tuning in because that's why we keep doing this. We'll catch you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening and supporting the 570.
If you like this episode,
please leave a review and make sure to check out all the past episodes.
If you or someone you know is interested in being a guest,
message us on Facebook or email podcast@conversionworks.com.